Google's dominance good or bad for consumers?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're searching for Google's chairman, Eric Schmidt, today, you can find him in the hot seat on Capitol Hill. He'll be testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee at a sensitive time for Google. The company, which controls 65% of the web search market here in the U.S., is being investigated for possible antitrust violations and uncompetitive practices. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
If you ask Jamie Quart at Consumer Watchdog how he'd like the ongoing federal investigation of Google to play out, he's pretty blunt.
It has to be broken up by the government. Google is bigger than Ma Bell. It's gotten too big.
That outcome is almost unimaginable. But at the very least, today's hearings are a distraction for Google executives. Federal investigators are concerned that Google is using its dominant position in search to direct traffic to its own sites, like Google Maps or Google Places. So if you Google hotels in Los Angeles and hit enter, what pops up is a page full of results from Google Places. You have to scroll down the entire screen before you see any results from competing sites like TripAdvisor. Herbert Hovenkamp is an antitrust expert at the University of Iowa, and he isn't convinced any of this violates antitrust law.
It's very, very easy, costless for customers to switch away from Google if Google is not serving them well.
There are lots of competing search engines out there, from scrappy startups like DuckDuckGo to established players like Yahoo. And the outcome of any government investigation is expected to take years. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Well, elsewhere on Capitol Hill today, lawmakers will be voting on a bill to fund the government after the current fiscal year ends on October 1st. And it turns out that Washington's polarized politics could again lead us to the brink of a government shutdown. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is here live to explain what is going on. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what is the issue this time that could lead to a federal shutdown?
Well, this is an impasse over federal disaster relief. As you know, we've had a lot of disasters recently between hurricanes and tornadoes and even earthquakes. So the Senate, where Democrats are in control, has approved $7 billion to replenish funds for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But the Republican majority in the House wants only half that amount. They say that's enough. And they want to pay for it right away rather than borrow the money, which is the way most Congresses have paid for emergency disasters in the past.
And I imagine a shutdown, if we do get to that point, would not be the greatest thing for the economy at this particular point in time.
Yeah, that's right. Many economists say government spending is the only thing that's propping things up right now. Any interruption of that flow of money would give even more momentum to the slowdown. Peter Morici is a business professor at the University of Maryland.
A dramatic drop in government activity with the economy so vulnerable could tip us into recession. You know, I'm not an advocate of big government, but this is no time to be shutting down the shop.
And John, it seems like we've been here before, and every time we get to an impasse like this, they sort of figure it out in the end. Is it likely that this time we'll actually have a shutdown?
Well, you got to think that Congress can find a compromise here. If anything, they don't want to risk damaging their already poor approval ratings by not finding a way out of this. But, you know, this is only the first of many financial quagmires that could force a government shutdown before next fall's election.
Oh, good. Something to look forward to. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across Europe and Asia this morning, up slightly in Tokyo, down about 0.6% right now in London. Foster's may no longer be Australian for beer. The company is being bought for $10 billion by the British brewing and bottling company SAB Miller. And word this morning from allthingsd.com that Apple is going to unveil the iPhone 5 on October 4th. Now, Apple has not confirmed the report, and given the company's love of surprises, it probably will not. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow climbed just 7 points to close at 11,408.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Today, the Greek government is expected to announce more spending cuts, including public sector layoffs, as it tries to show it's taking the steps necessary to secure more bailout funds. The economic turmoil in Europe has already had a negative impact on all kinds of things, but as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, the airline industry is, so far, not one of them.
The weak euro means more tourists are flying into Europe and more exports are flying out. George Hamlin is an aviation consultant. He says the industry outlook there could change if the European debt crisis doesn't get resolved.
It would be pretty terrible for overall economic activity and for traffic originating in Europe.
IATA, the International Air Transport Association, predicts global airline profits will decline next year, and European carriers will be the worst hit. But American carriers like United and Delta will be affected too, because transatlantic flights are still their most traveled long-haul routes. Roger King is an airline industry analyst at CreditSights. He says there's another issue airlines have to contend with, fuel prices.
There are other variables that the airlines can use to counteract economic weakness. But the one thing they cannot counteract is the price of oil.
Oil prices have defied the economic slowdowns in the U.S. and Europe. IATA expects them to stay high next year. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new museum that opened up over the weekend in Japan. It is celebrating the history of instant noodles. The museum was opened up by the company that makes cup noodles, which is still run by the family of the inventor of instant noodles, a guy named Momofuku Ando, who came up with the idea to solve hunger problems in Japan after World War II. He used to say, "Peace prevails when food suffices." Well, instant noodles definitely suffice. 95 billion servings were consumed around the world last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15, I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.